return to the Finsiders now.
Welcome back to the show. John Kajemi is here, former Dolphin Kim Bo Camper as well. Starting to get ready a little bit for the Dolphins and the Falcons on Sunday. Your text messages at 347-347 and your phone calls at 1-855-5-GO-FINS. We will talk some more now about the walking wounded that is the Atlanta Falcons with Dave Archer, our buddy and the radio broadcaster on the Falcons Radio Network. Dave, appreciate the time. Good to talk to you again. I mean, my goodness, this has got to be a tough couple of days for the team with all the injuries.
Yeah, trying to figure out actually who's going to be in uniform, and we've actually issued everybody tape to put on their helmets, put their names on their helmets, so we figure out who's doing what. But, hit the same spot, guys, the linebacker core, and we signed a couple guys today that have played in the league, but getting them up to speed will be one of Mike Nolan's many jobs this week as he tries to figure out a game plan to stop a Dolphin offense that's slinging it around the yard and having some success so far.
Yeah, at Arch, you know, but it all starts with offense when you look at the Atlanta Falcons, and it all starts at quarterback with Matt Ryan, a guy that, you know, threw it well last week. And the big question has been the offensive line. Can they protect well enough to be able to allow Julio Jones, which they did last week, to go off? I mean, he had a sensational afternoon. And guys around him like Roddy White and Gonzalez, can that offensive line hold up long enough to give him time to do that?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question, John. When you look at, they were much better this week than they were the week before. Your quarterback got 42 dropbacks, pressured 26 times. This weekend he threw the ball 43 times. I think they measured the pressures at 15 or 16, so I guess marginal improvement. Now Ryan had some success, and you mentioned Julio Jones. He was a monster this weekend. But they're going to need to spread that out a little bit more. Tony Gonzalez has not been as big a factor yet. I think he had 12 receptions this time a year ago, only 7 so far. We need to see a little bit more out of him. And Roddy's been winged a little bit. He's had the high ankle sprain that's kind of limited his play. Now, he played a little bit more late in the game, and I think they've got him on a little bit of a pitch count. So hope to see Roddy on the field. Harry's been outstanding. Harry Douglas has been outstanding. But the injury to Steven Jackson now means you're going to do a little bit more running back by committee and with some names that not very many people know. But ultimately, like you said, it's going to be that offensive line. I think they played better in week 2. Hoping for another improvement in week 3 against a team that knows how to rush the passer in Miami.
Dave, Kim Bo Camper here. When you talk about Roddy White, how bad is it for him, and how much can you expect to get out of him in a game like this?
Yeah, Kim, it's one of those situations where it's improving each and every week, but you know as well as anybody does, having played the game as long as you did, that those improvements are incremental when you start talking about having to play on it. It's one thing to sit out, but you've got to go play, and they've tried to kind of minimize the damage on Roddy. I think it will help Roddy to play on a natural grass field this week. Instead of playing on that AstroTurf, that Georgia Dome turf, he'll play on natural grass, a little bit less grab to the ankle. But I'm not sure he's ever going to be 100%. But it looked like he had a little bit more in the tank this week, and they're just hoping that he can bring a little more to the table, because it obviously balances the field a little bit more with Roddy on the field with Julio and Tony Gonzalez.
Falcons broadcaster Dave Archer is with us. You just mentioned maybe Roddy White will catch a break playing on natural grass this week. It's funny because at the same time we had a question from Bub Dolphin in our chat about the team in general. You know, I think from a distance we see them as a big vertical speed, you know, down the field, air it out kind of offense, and that obviously works in the dome. It works with the artificial surface. How have they been the last couple of years outside in the weather?
Well, the record is good. I mean, when you look at Matt Ryan's won more games in his first 5 years of his career than any quarterback in history. In fact, he was on the same track that Dan Marino was on for a long time in his first 3 or 4 years in the league. He's been very successful no matter where he's played. And let's face it, going down to Miami, you get a little bit of wind, but, I mean, it's not like you're going to Buffalo or someplace. Yeah. So it's going to be a little bit easier in that regard. But I think that Ryan will be fine. He spins it fine, and that's ultimately, Johnny, you can attest to this. You got to be able to spin it, and he's the guy that can rotate the football. So I don't think he'll be bothered by playing outside, regardless of who's rushing the pass or whatever. He's a kid that likes to stand in there and sling it.
Arch, what does it do to this defense with Bierman and guys like Sean Weatherspoon out of the lineup for the Atlanta Falcons? I know that there's guys that are going to have to step up. You know, it's next man up, and guys are going to get signed to try to get up to speed. But what does it do with the flexibility? I know Bierman played defensive end. He would kick the linebacker. There's a lot of different things you can do with him that affects other guys on that defensive front.
Yeah, great eye, John. That's exactly what the big problem is here now. You start talking about what Bierman Bierman was playing strong linebacker in the 4-3, base 4-3 set, and then when we went to sub-package and brought the extra DB in, he was rocking up on the line of scrimmage, and he was an edge rusher. But his versatility to bounce around in what we kind of called the Mike Nolan amoeba defense that goes from like a 3-4 to a 4-3, got all sorts of different looks. We've even seen Bierman with his versatility and athleticism, when they show that 11-up look, he rotates and actually ends up at free safety. That's his versatility. Don't have another guy on the roster that can do that. So now three or four guys are going to have to fill that void. Steven Nicklaus probably will start at linebacker. He has a number of starts under his career at the Falcons. And then you'll probably see a young player in Jonathan Massaquah. They're very excited about. He looks the part, has shown some flashes. He'll probably be an edge rusher opposite OCU Manure this weekend.
Some really good insight from Dave Archer, the former Falcons quarterback and their current radio analyst. One more for you, Dave. And I know we spoke earlier in this summer and discussed how big of a season it is for this quarterback, for this coach, for this fan base, and the organization even beyond that. So we're two games in, 1-1. Obviously, you know, the injuries kind of add to the whole broader story, but how are people feeling about the team right now? I know it's early, but still.
Well, they're panicking. You know, it's a scenario where it's Super Bowl. When you're 10 yards away from maybe beating the 49ers to go play the big dance last year, Super Bowl is what's on everybody's mind. We know anybody that's played the game, you've got two guys sitting there that played the game that understand that seasons are different and you're going to run into injuries. There's a lot of things that go on in a season that may bounce your way or against you, and how do you handle those situations and to compare one season to the next. But the expectation level of the fan base here is to go to the big dance, to go to the Super Bowl. They're talented enough to do that. Now, can they make the plays in the ultimate moments when they need to? Didn't do it last year, and so the onus is on the quarterback, as you said, and the coach to put them in a position to do it again.
Dave, I know you can't get inside the players' heads, but just, you know, we all as people that watch our teams make determinations, and I know that going into this season there were probably a lot of people that looked at week 3 Falcons at Dolphins, oh, this is going to be a walkover for the Atlanta Falcons. All of a sudden you look at the Dolphins come out and win two games in a row. In your mind, have the Dolphins changed your perspective on what to expect this week coming in?
Well, absolutely. I think that we tend to look at it, former players now in the business of the media, we kind of tend to look at it with two different sets of eyes. We look at it as a player, and you never underestimated your opponent. You always came in with an expectation that they could make enough plays on any Sunday to beat you. And now as you look at it from a media standpoint, you say, wait a minute, they've done a nice job of building a team down there. It's a young quarterback that everybody keeps forgetting about. Talk about that 2012 class. Nobody talks about Ryan Tannehill. He's making plays. They've added some pieces around him, went and got some guys on defense, and maybe the best fire breather coming off the edge in the league that nobody talks about in Cameron Wake. Now all of a sudden you better respect this team or Atlanta will go down there and get their rear end handed to them.
Really good stuff. Dave Archer, always great to talk to you. Always appreciate the time. Thanks, man. We'll see you on Sunday.
Great talking to you guys. Y'all take care.
Thanks, Arch. Thanks.
Dave Archer on the Metro PCS Hotline. For unlimited access to all interviews on the Metro PCS Hotline, visit thefinsiders.com. Panic time in Atlanta. You know, it's funny. Every team has their own set of expectations, you know, based on what's happened previously. And the Dolphins are sort of early on in the maturation process. If you look at the big picture for Joe Philbin and Ryan Tannehill, it's year two. They want to take a big step forward this year, and there's pressure to take a big step forward this year. But Mike Smith and Matt Ryan, they're a few years ahead of that thing. And they're at that point now where it doesn't start to happen in a big, big way in the next season or two. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's a totally different situation.
Well, there's different levels and different expectations. You know, you look at Atlanta, you look at San Francisco, you look at Seattle and those teams, and, you know, their expectations are nothing short of a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so you lose, and then look at I guarantee you this week in San Francisco, they're panicking out in San Francisco with their football team, not only because they got beat, but they look at that team that Seattle, they got to play again.
They got to beat them.
And so now, well, wait a minute, all of a sudden the landscape has changed completely out there. It's changed for us down here completely, but, you know, our goal is we need to keep moving on, keep building it, keep that momentum rolling. For them, it's a whole different set of concerns they've got.
That's absolutely right. All right, your cheerleader of the week this week is Lily. She is presented by Dominican Republic. For more on Lily, visit DolphinsCheerleaders.com. We'll take a two-minute break. When we come back, we'll hear from the Dolphins coordinators, Mike Sherman and Kevin Coyle. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.